Well, we've learned a lot about relationships from Adele, haven't we? The one thing I have learned from Adele about relationships is that they are tough. Have you ever listened to her music and felt like you have gone through a lot? Adele has become kind of an icon, not just because of her powerful voice, but also because of how she sings about relationships and oftentimes so many things that so many people can identify with. She sings about things that many of us have been through or are experiencing now. For example, she sings breakup songs and dealing with pain of rejection that many of us have felt, like when she sings, "Never mind, I'll find somebody like you. I wish nothing but the best for you. Don't forget me, I beg. I'll remember you said." Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Lots of us have been there. She sings songs about dealing with being hurt or being in unhealthy relationships with people who have hurt us. "But there's a side to you that I never knew. All the things you'd say, they were never true, and the games you play, you would always win." She sings the songs about finding your soulmate, finding that perfect person for you. "I dare you to let me be your one and only. Promise I'm worthy to hold in your arms. So come on and give me the chance to prove that I'm the one who can walk that mile until the end starts." And then most recently, she comes out with her big hit, "Hello, It's Me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet, to go over everything. They say that time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing." And if you actually read about some of the things that Adele has said about this song, if you read through Hello or if you listen to it, many of you know it because it's the song they play. It's every third song in the radio they play. But if you've listened to the actual lyrics, you might think this is looking at a past relationship or a boyfriend she's speaking to. But when you read or listen to what she's actually said about it, she says it's really representative of all of her past relationships or people that she's had relationships with that she's looking back and reflecting. But more than that, it's a song addressed to herself. "Hello, it's me. I need to reflect on my relationships, on my life, on how I've been doing. I need to heal. I need to find myself or to figure things out and to move forward." And it's interesting that she would choose a song like that that talks about her self-reflection and decisions about her past, because she raises something important that I want you to get today that I think is really important for wherever you are at in your relationships. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about that, whether you're married, whether you were married and you're navigating single life again, or whether you're single and you're looking forward to hopefully one day you want to be married. And this morning, I think what we talk about today is going to be applicable to everyone, wherever you're at in your relationship or not in a relationship. But especially today, I want to talk to people who are single, or maybe you're dating someone and you're thinking that one day you'll get married, but you're not married yet. Today, this is your moment. This is your day. Next week, married people, we're going to deal with you. On Valentine's Day, so sorry. I'll give you guys something to fight about maybe. No, I'm just kidding. It'll be great. Bring your married friends. It's going to be good. But today, really want to focus especially on those who might be single or looking forward towards marriage. And what I want you to understand is this. There is one thing that all of your relationships have in common, past, present, and future. One common denominator, common factor, and that is you. Every relationship that you'll ever have will have you in it. And oftentimes when it comes to relationships, we often like to look at the other person. We like to look at somebody else. If we're married, sometimes we say, you know, if my spouse just did this, if my husband did this, if my wife did that, or if I could just find the right person, if I could just find my soulmate, and we go through that. It's often about somebody else. But today, I want you to stop and kind of go, "Hello, it's me. I am in all of my relationships. I am the common factor. How can I make sure that I am promoting a healthy relationship in my life?" And actually, I want you to ask yourself this question. What is it like dating me? Not me. I want you to ask yourself. I'm off the market. But for you to ask yourself, what is it like dating me? What is it like to be married to me? What was it like being married to me? Because as much as we'd love to look at everybody else and all the people maybe that we've dated or we've been married to or we are married to, the common denominator and the one person in every relationship, whose behavior and whose attitude, whose actions we actually have control over is ourselves. And today, the reason why I'm talking specifically to people who are single or looking forward to marriage is because there's a bunch of people, even in this room, and a bunch of people probably in your life, that would love to say to you, if I had known this, if I had thought about this, if I had acted on this before I got married, I would have saved myself a world of trouble, of pain, of hurt. If I had gone back and looked at this before I got into a marriage, or if I had dealt with that, if we had dealt with that in the early years of our marriage, instead of letting it linger on, we would have been so much further ahead. We would have been so much more healthy or happy or on board. And so if you're single, today is your day because you have a chance to set a trajectory for your life and for the kinds of relationships that you want to enter in, the kind of relationship that you want to have, before you go through things that in some cases many people, even in this room, would say, I wish I had known that. I wish I had thought about that. I wish I had changed course before now. And part of that is to open by asking the question, what is it like to be with me, my role in my relationship? So here's the principle that is simple today, but it's profound, that I want you to understand, that I really want you to get and walk away with today. It's simply this. Our actions are more effective than our intentions. When it comes to relationships, and this is true, and not just relationships, it's true in all different aspects of your life. But today, as we talk about relationships, you need to understand our actions are more effective than our intentions. Intentions are really good. And lots of us have good intentions about the kind of relationship we have, the kind of marriage that we want to have, the kind of life that we want to have. We have these thoughts around that. But anybody who's been married for any length of time, or even if you've been in a serious relationship for a little bit, you understand as you look back that what's more important to you than intentions is actions. Actions, in fact, are what give our intentions meaning. So if you're married, if you got married one day, if you've ever been to a wedding, you know the deal. We get to that day, we get to that moment, and we say our vows. We say something to one another like, I, so-and-so, take you, so-and-so, to be my husband, to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, forsaking all others for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, for as long as we both shall live. And it's such a wonderful day, and it's such good intentions, important intentions. But again, anybody who's been married and has said that and then has gone on to have a relationship for any length of time will tell you that what's more important than those intentions were the actions that went alongside of them. What really gave meaning to those kind of vows is when they're followed through with how we live. So you need to understand something today. Whatever you think about marriage, whatever you think about relationships, whatever you're hoping for, wherever you've got those ideas, whatever your view is, whether it's a very romanticized view of relationships and marriage, whether it's something you've got from culture or from role models, you need to understand that no matter what your intentions are, the best of intentions are not nearly as effective as your actions and how you actually live and how you actually treat one another. There's a proverb. We're going to study today a few proverbs and take some time to look through what it means and what it means for us. Proverbs are they're kind of the tweets of the Bible. They're very short, pithy statements, except unlike Twitter, they're very wise. And in a very short statement, except for when I post on Twitter, you should all follow me. But in a very short statement and pithy, something memorable, we are told something that's so profound and wise that changes the way that we think about things and the way that we live. And so there's a proverb in chapter 14, verse 15, that talks about what I've been talking about already. It says this: the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. I want to unpack that for a second and talk about what that means as we think about relationships. First, let's define some terms. The simple believes everything. You do not want to be the simple. We could translate that in other ways. Some translations would be bold enough to say people who are stupid, people who make poor decisions, people who lack sense. The simple believes everything. And a simple person is someone who's naive, who's stubborn, or irresponsible. And sometimes is all three or a couple of those things. Someone who's naive, and we see that right in the verse that we read, someone who believes everything. someone who's stubborn, who you can't change their mind, who you just know, even if they're going in a bad direction, they're going to continue going in that direction, and they're going to suffer for it. They're going to hurt for it. And people who are irresponsible, people who don't think about where their actions are leading them and what kind of steps they're taking. They're just irresponsible. So I want to talk about that for a second. What does it look like, practically speaking? The simple person believes everything in our culture as it is related to our relationships. So here are some common misconceptions about relationships, because I want to make sure that none of us have that excuse that we just didn't know, that we were naive, that we were simple, as we approach some of the common misconceptions about what relationships are and how they operate in our culture, and some of the things that so many of us say all the time. So here's the first one. I can change him. Somebody's lived it. I can change her, right? We all have this idea that, well, they treat me nice, and this is good, and it's okay, and I know that they have this problem. But once we get married, give me a little bit of time, I can change him. I can change her. Marriage will change them. No, you can't. And marriage counselors later, this is free advice, later you'll pay for it, will tell you this. You can't change somebody else. I believe people can change by the power of God. God transforms us and moves. But you cannot change somebody. I cannot change somebody's heart. And getting married will not change somebody's character issues. So if you're dating someone who has anger issues and you marry them, you will be married to someone with anger issues. If you're dating someone who's lazy and you marry them, you will be married to someone who's lazy. If you are dating someone who doesn't prioritize you and you marry them, you're going to be married to someone who doesn't prioritize you, and you cannot change them. And there's something inside so many of us that says, but I can. I can be the savior. I can be the one that turns them around, and our love is strong enough, and you know, it's all good except for those things. And we like to gloss over sometimes major character issues, thinking, I can change them. I can help. I can get them over that. No, you can't. Here's another one. Second one. Love is all that we need. It makes for good songs. We may disagree about every, this is what, we may disagree about every, I love that I have married people in the room that are all over that. We may disagree about everything. He might not treat me perfectly, but all we need is love. He loves me. She loves me. It's going to be okay. It doesn't matter that we have all kinds of issues. It doesn't matter that we see life differently. It doesn't matter that we're on different weight, because when we're together, we have fun. Love is all we need. Here's another one, and this kind of leads from it. And this is, so when I marry people, when I do their ceremony, I always do premarital counseling ahead of time. And so people come in, and when I talk about these ones, this is one that I always, when I say it, the two people who are engaged, they kind of look at each other and they go, and I go, what was that little snickering thing? And they say something like this, no, we'll always feel this way. We won't be like our parents. We won't have dry spells. We won't let the fire diminish. We're not like, you don't understand. We have a different kind of love. We're unique. And no, you're not. I hate to tell you that, but everybody in that situation says the same thing. You have this great passion. We're never going to not feel like this. We can never be like our parents. I can't, you know, I got to this point. I don't know if they've got lazy or whatever. They don't have that same fire, but we're never going to do that because our love is different. Our love is unique. Nobody in a relationship has ever experienced this before. You are not unique. Everybody's experienced that before. That's the way it is. Some people think, and for those of you who are single, the hardest part of a relationship is finding the right person. And it seems this way, especially when we're single, I think, because we want to be in the relationship and we look out there and sometimes we think there's no good guys out there, there's no good women out there. You know, the hardest thing in the world would be just to find that right person, the person that's going to make me happy, the person that will fulfill me, the person that's going to satisfy all of my longings and desires, and that's the hardest part. And we have a little bit of pop culture that plays into this, because that's why Disney movies, you know, the whole thing with the princess and the prince, the whole movie is about them getting together. And then at the end, they get together, and that's the end of the movie. And they go, then they lived happily ever after. Well, yeah, because the hardest part is just finding that right person, my prince or my princess, and then everything's good. And then you actually get married and realize that there's difficult things about relationships. Some of us believe I have to settle because there's nobody good out there. Some of us don't believe that we are worth somebody who's good. Some of us believe that we can't love the way that we should love. And then again, many of us think we aren't like everyone else. We are unique. I'm the exception to the rule, or our relationship is an exception to the rule. No, you're not. Many of the things that we go through in relationships, whether we're single, married, whether we're single again, are so, so common. But when we get that element of passion and of love, you know, sometimes we say love is blind. That's not really a good thing. Sometimes love blinds us from what is right in front of our face and what really all of us deal with on some level, many of these same relational issues. And so part of what we have to do is to say, I don't want to be simple. I don't want to be naive about this or stubborn or irresponsible when it comes to my relationships. I don't want to be that simple person, because simple people believe everything. Anything. Simple people believe what they see in culture, on sitcoms or romantic comedies, or sometimes from role models that we have that aren't great relationship role models. And simple people just say, oh yeah, I guess that's how it is. Simple people say, I don't really have to deal with some of the issues in my relationship. Everything's going to be fine. We don't really have to talk about it. We don't really have to go over this. We don't really have to get into the middle of a tough conversation. Simple people, they'll believe everything like that. We don't want to be simple people when it comes to our relationship, because I think God has something better in mind for us. I know God has something better in mind for us. So what about a prudent person? A prudent person, or someone who's wise, is teachable, they're shrewd, and they're future-focused. They're someone who's willing to learn from other people, to look and realize that other people have gone through what I'm going through. What I'm going through is not unique. I'm not the exception to the rule. There are people that can teach me something. They're shrewd, they make smart decisions, and they're future-focused. So what they do today is going to benefit them later, and they make decisions and act on things that will benefit them in the future. Life can be hard. Relationships can be tough. That's true. Prudent people, or wise people, make sure that they make good decisions, that they're teachable, that they learn from their mistakes, and that they're future-focused in their relationships. And we see even more than that from the verse that we read. The prudent gives thought to his steps. And this is where we get that principle that action is more important than intentions. He gives thought to not just what he thinks, but his steps, the things that they actually do. Smart, wise people who navigate through life well think about what they're doing, their actions. Think about how that's affecting them. Think about where that is leading them into the future. They meditate on that and they make adjustments. They become teachable based on what they do, not just their intentions, not just what they think marriage should be like or relationship should be like or how love should be, but what's actually happening and what they're actually doing in their lives. Our steps are the things that we live out, the decisions that we act upon, the behavior that characterizes our life. And this is so crucial, because that behavior is what sets the trajectory for our future, not our intentions, not our naive views of relationships or marriage. It's what we actually choose to do that sets the direction for our future. Our actions are more important than our intentions. And wise people understand that. Wherever you're at today in terms of relationship, this is important for you to understand and to navigate. But especially today, if you're single or if you're dating before marriage, understanding this now will help you so much in avoiding some of the things that many other people would tell you, I wish I had known that, because then I wouldn't have had to go through this, or I could have avoided this, or I could have gone a different way. Proverbs 22:3 puts it this way, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. So wise people, people who think about their steps, they look down in the future and they can see danger. They can see that where they're headed is leading them to a spot that they don't want to be in, and they hide themselves. They remove themselves. They turn in a different direction so they don't end up there. But simple people who don't get the message and who don't think through their actions and where those actions are leading them, they just keep going. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to fight about it. I don't want to have to deal with that. Everything's just going to be okay. And the simple go on and suffer for it. There's pain and there's hurt that oftentimes could have been avoided if earlier down the road it stopped and said, where is this leading me? Where am I going? And I don't want any of us to suffer from being simple or naive. I want you to know that if you're dating somebody right now and you're wondering if this is someone who's marriage material, that the best gauge of their behavior, the best indicator of their behavior is not their intentions, it's their track record. It's their present and their past behaviors. Again, I believe God can change people, but you can't change people. And if you're wondering, is this somebody I should be with long term? Is this something that I need to invest in? The best indicator is not their intentions. It's their actions. It's how they treat you. We'll talk about a little bit more specifics in a second in some areas that are so important for you to consider if you're in a relationship or if one day you think you'll be in a relationship and one day pursue marriages. So here's what I want to ask yourself. Are the steps that you are taking leading you to the kind of relationship that you want to have? I want you to evaluate this today. Are the steps that you're taking, your actions, your behaviors, is that leading you down the path to the kind of relationship that you want to have? Not your intentions, not just what you think marriage should be like, not a romanticized version of what you are like with somebody else, but is what you're actually doing and what you're actually living out and how things are going, your behaviors, are they leading you to the kind of relationship that you want to have down the road? Because the simple will go on and suffer for it, if not. They'll end up there anyway. Whether through naivety or being irresponsible. But the prudent, the wise, will see where the trajectory of their life is going and make sure that it lines up with where they want to be. So where should we start? If we're going to be wise and think about this, we can think about so many things. And today, I want to talk about three things that are always at the top of the list when it comes to reasons for divorce. So these are things that if you're going to get into a marriage, even if you're going to be in a long-term committed relationship, these are things we're not going to say if this comes up or if this becomes an issue. These are things that will become an issue, things that you need to deal with, things that you need to get on the same page with the person that you're going to be with. When they do studies of why people divorce and what the reasons are, these three things always end up near the top of the list, and we could add more, but these are the ones that are going to be common to so many people. And so if you're looking and saying, I want to make sure my steps, my lifestyle, the way that I'm acting is putting me in a position to have good relationships, I want you to pay attention to this. So if you're married or you have been married, these are really good character checks for you to look at. You might even look back and see there's places in your marriage where this has already cropped up. And maybe it's time for a refresher course. Maybe it's time for you to have conversations about this. So I'll give you the excuse to bring it up by bringing them up this morning. And again, if you're single, this is a spot for you to recognize these are things that will play into your marriage if one day you're going to get married, into long-term relationships. And so you want to stop and make sure that even before you get into a relationship, this is such a good opportunity for you as a single person or a not married person to say, where am I with this stuff? Am I in a good place to pursue that kind of relationship? Am I in a good place that's going to take me to the place that I want to go? What are my steps looking like? So here they are, three things that always are at the top of the list when it comes to reasons for divorce. First is faith. This isn't really a Christian thing. This is just in general. If you are not on the same page with the person you're marrying about faith, it will be a huge issue. And I know some of us want to say, well, he treats me good, and I know I like to be in church, and you know I like to pursue God and that kind of thing. He's not really into it, but that's okay. I respect that. That's fine. You need to know this will be a blow-up. This will be a crash if you're not on the same page in terms of your faith. Our faith, whatever that faith is where we derive our primary way that we look at the world, the way that we look at morality, our core values, how we want to spend our money, all kinds of different things start from where our faith is, even if that faith is not having any faith. But if you're not on the same page with your spouse or the person you're dating and you're wondering where is this going to go, you need to understand that not being on the same page with your faith is going to be a huge, huge issue. This is talking about the core of who you are, how you see yourself, and how you see the world. If you're dating somebody and they treat you great, and you have fun and all that kind of stuff, and you think it's enough, but you know that you're not on the same page in terms of your faith, you got to know it's not if this is going to be an issue, it's when. This is a big deal you need to pay attention to. Secondly, finances. Money fights and money problems are always at the top of the list of why people break up. The reason for this is when we talk about money, money is not really about money. Jesus taught this. He said that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so the reason why money can be so emotionally charged in relationships is because what we're really arguing about and what we're really struggling through is where our priorities and values are. Because wherever those priorities and values are where we put our money. So when you fight about money, and why did you spend on this? And you know, why don't we have more for this? And why aren't we doing this? And I, you know, you want to do this and I want to do this. It's because we're fighting about what is really core to us, what we really believe in. If you are a single person and one day you hope to be married, maybe you haven't met that person, you don't know who that person is, take control of your finances. Pay off your student loans. Get out of debt. Start a savings account. Be generous with your money to the causes that get your heart passionate. Become a person who's good with your money so that when you meet that person or when you get into that relationship or when you get into that marriage, you've got an idea of how to manage your money. You know how to talk about it and communicate about it. If you're married and you know there's tension about money, but you don't really talk about it, today I'll give you the excuse. You need to talk about it because this is your values. If you know there's tension because in your household you're not doing well with money and you don't know about your money and only your spouse does, or you can't really talk about it without fighting, or you guys are further and further in debt, or you're hiding things from one another, you need to know it's not if money's going to be an issue, it's when. And so build strong financial practices. As a single, if you're single, and if you're married, sit down and talk through. You guys both need to be part of the process of getting control of your finances, because this is one of the huge issues that breaks people up, is fighting over money and money problems. And then the third one, finally, is family. And family, we can break it off into two different categories that people fight about. People fight about kids. Do we want to have them? How many do we have? How are we going to raise them? How are we going to discipline them? These are issues that you cannot ignore. Now listen, I'm not saying if you're dating, this is not like first date necessary material, right? Hey, nice to meet you. Let's go through our financials. Those are bank account statements, please. And how many kids do you want? How are you going to raise them? What's the discipline going to be like? Then you go home and wonder why there was no second date. I'm not saying this is first date material. I'm saying this is something that needs to be on your radar. Family, what are our kids like? Do we both want to have kids? If so, how many? I don't know. That could change, but can you talk about that? Can you work through that? How are we going to raise them? By the way, this is going to be affected all the way back to faith. If one of you is a person of faith and the other is not, you know that one day the person of faith is going to want your kids growing up in church and the other one may not want that, and there's going to be time issues of why are you spending so much time at church and this, that, and the other thing. It's going to happen. It's not if, it's when. The other category in family is in-laws. Some of the stuff that we bring from our family of origin, some of the stuff that maybe you haven't wanted to deal with about how your parents treated you, or some of the baggage you might be carrying around, you say, I don't really want to get into it. The past is in the past. I don't want to talk about it. And sometimes we assume that our past is not going to be dragged into our future. What about boundaries? How close are we going to be to our family? How much time are we going to spend? How much are we going to make sure that we spend time with them to make sure that they're honored in our life and they're part of our lives? And how much boundaries are there going to be so that we're our own couple and making decisions? Family in terms of kids and in-laws are huge. Dealing with your past is huge. And if you're single right now, if you're not yet married before that, you have an opportunity to deal with a lot of this and to build a strong foundation before you get so far down the road that it's hard to go back. And I got to tell you, there's so many people, again, that are even in this room, maybe they're in your life in different aspects, that would love to tell you, hey, if I could go back and take a look at my steps and where they were leading me years ago, if I knew this before we got married, if I knew this in the early years of my marriage, this would have changed so much. Smart, prudent people, think about their steps. and where they're leading them in the future. And smart people hide themselves from danger when they see those things. They don't ignore them and go on to suffer and hurt unnecessarily. They stop and hide themselves from the danger. They go in a different direction. So again, for singles, here's what I want to tell you. If you're in a place where you're not married yet, but you'd like to be married, especially for you, and you're wondering, how, you know, where do I start and what does this look like and what do I focus on? Andy Stanley has an awesome quote. We saw it up there earlier. He says this: are you becoming the person that the person you're looking for is looking for? In other words, it's easy for us to often look and say, I want my dream guy or my dream girl. That knight in the shining armor. I want my soulmate and things will be easy. Or I want my spouse to clean up their act. Or if they would treat me better, then everything would be good. But I want you to stop today and say, if you want to be in a healthy relationship, if you want your marriage to be healthier, if you want one day to be in a healthy relationship, are you becoming the kind of person that the kind of person you're looking for, that great, wonderful person is looking for? Because there's a common factor in all of your relationships, past, present, and future, and it's you. That's who you get to control. That's who you get to be. So are you becoming the person, the kind of person, that the kind of person you're looking for is looking for? The kind of person that's working out their faith, and that's important to them. The kind of person that is responsible financially and has a good head on their shoulder. The kind of person who's willing to deal with their family and to think about the kind of family that they want to have with the person that they're with. If you're already married, we could add it this way. Are you becoming the spouse that your spouse wants to be married to? I know it's easy to say, if my spouse just, but are you becoming the kind of spouse that your spouse wants to be married to? Are you the kind of boyfriend or girlfriend that your boyfriend or girlfriend wants to pursue, wants to get married to? Are you working on you? And in the relationships that you have you thought about the steps you're taking and where they are leading? Because wise people will see danger ahead where there is danger, and they'll hide themselves from it. But simple people don't want to talk about it, don't want to deal with it, don't want to do the hard things, and they go on to suffer for it. And I don't want any of us to suffer for it when we don't have to. Relationships are hard enough already without us adding to it by making foolish decisions or going into relationships that we know aren't going to be healthy ahead of time, or staying in relationships or pursuing relationships that ahead of time we know are not going in a good direction. So today, I want to tell you who to marry. If you're already married, sorry, might be too late. I'm just kidding. This is good for you too. But I want to tell you who you should get married to today. Clear things up. Another Proverbs. In Proverbs 31, verse 10, it says this, and maybe you resonate with this. An excellent wife who can find? And if you're looking for a husband, don't worry, I'm going to explain to you why this applies to you too. An excellent, strong, good, amazing wife. Who can find, right? Some of us, we say that. Like, how do you find somebody really good? Where do we find those people? She is far more precious than jewels. So valuable to be with this person. The heart of her husband trusts in her. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be with this person? You know, you can trust them. They're going to be there for you no matter what, and you don't have to worry about not trusting them or about having them let you down in so many ways. And he will have no lack of gain. Oh, this wife, this spouse is going to bring profit into your life. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Being married to this person only does me good, doesn't do me harm. Are you with me? Do you stop and say, an excellent wife who can find, an excellent husband who could find? That's what I want to be in. That sounds like my soulmate. That sounds like the person that's going to make me happy. That sounds like the person that I could build a life on. That sounds like the kind of person I want to be married to. Now, the rest of this chapter is a poem. It was written in Hebrew, and it's an acrostic, which means every line starts with the next letter of the alphabet. It goes all the way down. And in your life groups, on the back of your note, there's questions. You're going to go through these and divide it up, and you're going to look at all the characteristics of this wife, this excellent wife. And you're going to see in there, guys read this and you think, yeah, what an awesome woman. I'd love to marry that kind of woman. And women, you read this and you go, I could never live up to that. Because she's good with business. She's good in her home life. She's good with kids. She's smart. She's resourceful. She is the total package. She has got it all. Again, a lot of times women read this and be like, well, I can't live up to that. Is my husband expecting me to do that? Get this. this poem, this wife, is wisdom. All through the book of Proverbs, over and over, it comes up, Lady Wisdom. It's a personification of wisdom, wisdom lived out. And the writer of Proverbs here wrote us this poem to say, you want an excellent wife? You want someone that's going to bring you gain and help you in your life and bring you good, not harm? The marriage you need, the relationship you need is wisdom. Will never let you down. Making good, practical choices. And even in your relationships, to make sure you're making the best possible choices that are going to benefit you down the road. You don't ignore the problems. You don't ignore the warning signs. You'll suffer for that. But an excellent wife, this is better than gold, better than jewels. You can't buy this stuff. Marry wisdom. Make wisdom your closest friend. And avoid some of the pain that you might not have to go through if you'll do it. When we talk about love and relationships, I said this earlier. Oftentimes, we get an idea of what love and marriage and being romantically together is from all kinds of different places. Romantic comedies, sitcoms, TV. Some of us, we have role models in our lives that aren't so great. Some of us don't have good role models in our lives at all. We just don't have those people that show us what it looks like to be in a healthy relationship. And as a result, some of us, I think, feel like we could never give that kind of love. Never really love somebody the way that I'm supposed to. Some of us, I think, go the other way and feel like I'm not really worthy of that kind of love. Maybe I just have to settle. Maybe nobody will ever really like love me that much. Maybe a real good, healthy relationship that we've been talking about is not in my future. Maybe I don't even deserve that. Today, I want you to think about your standard of love, marriage, relationships. I think for a lot of us, the bar is set way too low. And today, I want you to raise your bar. I want you to set your bar of what love looks like to the standard of love himself, Jesus Christ. Because you need to know this. God is not a God who just has good intentions for you. God is a God who loves you so much, he's willing to act for you. And he has. He loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to become one of us, to live in this world, to show us in the most practical and visible of terms that God loves us. And that what that love looks like is that he'd be willing to die for us. Have you ever thought of the fact that Christians believe Jesus is the king of the universe, and in his kingdom, the king would die for his subjects? That's an awfully strange kingdom, isn't it? It's a kingdom of love. And he shows us what real love looks like, that he would lay his life down for us. God loves you that much. God wants you to have healthy and happy relationships. If you're married, God wants you to have a good marriage. God wants you to love deeply and to be loved deeply. But you need to understand something, that no guy or no girl can ever substitute themselves for the love that only God can show you, that only God can fulfill that spot, that longing, that desire that gives you that worth, that gives you that value, that gives you that confidence. And it's true for you. If we're really wise today, we'll accept that. And we'll pattern our lives and our relationships after it. We're going to now transition and do some communion. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up and those who are helping serve. Communion, for those of you who might be new to this, we're going to pass these plates, and there's a cracker, bread, and there's this juice. And these are powerful symbols for us. The cracker, the bread, is a symbol of the body that Jesus would come and take on a human body and give it up for us, that he would go through everything that we've gone through, that he would show us that he's willing to come all this way to love us. And the juice that we'll take is symbolic of his blood, that he was willing to die for us on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that he died the death that we deserve so that we don't have to. And in these symbols, we see the love of God so clearly shown to us. God saying to each one of us, I love you enough to die for you. I love you enough to die for you. I love you enough to die for you. And this is what love looks like. Sacrifice of God himself on our behalf. If you're not a follower of Jesus today, we are just glad that you're here. When these elements get passed by, you can just let them go. We don't want you to partake in something that you haven't agreed to or that you don't believe at this point. That's okay. We just want you to think about some of the things that you've heard today. And if there's more that we could do to answer your questions, to help you be part of this community, we'd be more than happy to do it. You can use the Connect card to do that. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, take the bread. It's going to be music playing. Hold it in your hand. Know that as real as you hold that emblem in your hand is as real as God loves you. As real as you put the bread into your mouth, as you remember the body of Jesus Christ, as real as you drink that juice and it becomes part of you, is as real as God's presence is in your life, as real as his love is for you. And whenever you're ready, go ahead and eat. Take of the body of Christ. Drink. Remember the sacrifice made on our behalf. The statement that God loves us and showed us exactly what real relationship looks like. And celebrate that God loves you that much as we look forward to Jesus Christ coming back and making all things right, making all things new. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you show us what real love looks like. Not only that, we thank you that you are real love. God, today I pray for anyone who's struggling in their relationships, in their marriage. God, maybe people who aren't sure that they deserve the kind of love we've been talking about, people who are unsure of where they need to go in the future, people who have maybe lost hope in their marriage. God, I pray that today they would know that you are greater than all obstacles and all struggles. God, I pray for anyone who is confused and needs wisdom to take steps forward, God, that you would give them, grant them that wisdom through people that walk alongside of them, through the church community, through friends, through family. God, thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son to die for us. Thank you that we can celebrate today as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That we, as we accept your forgiveness, are washed clean, have been given new life, and are recipients of real, true, satisfying love and life. May everyone here today know it and walk out living in it. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. It is in our Savior's name that we pray. Amen.